Everything that Jesus did, we can do also, except pay the price for sin, right? Because none of us were born sinless. So that's the one thing he did that we can't do. But everything else he did, he modeled that you and I can walk in it just like he walked in it. Amen? The reason I believe, this is Robert's opinion, the reason Jesus was able to do so much more than you and I are seen done in our lives is because since he never sinned, he never carried shame. He never carried guilt. He never carried condemnation. He was never convicted of doing wrong in his heart, like you and I have been. So what we are doing is we are overcoming our old nature, our old way of seeing ourselves, the way that our conscience has spoken to us up until the day of our salvation. In other words, we have these old tapes that are playing that he didn't have. Amen? But if we can erase those tapes, or better yet, burn them, then we won't have that condemnation, that conviction, that guilt, or that shame impeding us having complete, unhindered faith in what God says. Do you agree or disagree? Okay, so how do we really scrub away that condemnation, that guilt, and that shame? Oh, nobody knows. All right, I should tell you then. By believing God. We have to believe God. God has to tell us the truth about ourselves. If he doesn't tell us the truth about ourselves, we can't walk in faith. We can't do it. Turn in your Bibles with me. Ready? Buckle your seatbelts. We're going to go to Romans first. Well, let me back up. Let me read something to you, and then we'll go to Romans, okay? We're going to go to Romans chapter 10, but let me read in Galatians 3. If you want to join me on reading Galatians 3, put your finger in Romans 10. I'm going to read Galatians 3, 26 through 4:17. Ready? This is a lot, so I'll just read it to you. I'm going to start here in 26. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. What makes you a son of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So how many of you are females in this room? Raise your hand. How many of you are females in the spirit? Raise your hand. None of you are. I want you to know this. A son of God does not mean a male-gendered person. Amen? In the spirit, we are all sons of God or daughters of God. The Bible just uses the term sons of God. That does not exclude you. What does it say here? It says, for in Christ, everything we do is in Christ, is it not? Outside of Christ, we're male or female. Inside of Christ, we're not male or female. Get that out of your head, okay? Is that what it says here? It does. Now listen, we need to raise up our thinking to how it operates in the kingdom of God. How does it operate in the kingdom of God? Not a natural person trying to get God to do something for them. But what has he done to us and does he do through us that we can claim that we are sons and daughters of God? Amen? Let me read on. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, that's possessive. I'm on verse 29, Galatians 3:29 right now. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time of the Father. 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. 6. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. So, how many of you are a son? Raise your hand. Seriously, according to this verse, any of us that have the Spirit of God in us, we are sons of God. Are you with me? Have I lost any of you? Because I need you to stay with me. Okay, so every one of us is a son of God. So when we're reading about the sons of God, we are not talking about flesh and blood. Okay? Let me just back up a little bit before we go to Romans 10. I'll get there in a second. Go to Romans 9, since you're over there. I just want to set a precedent for us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 9, verse 6. And we're going to read through verse 13 so I can explain something to you. Even though Paul is using this example and he's talking about natural flesh and blood people on the earth, he is calling one group of people flesh, and instead of using the word promise, think of the word spirit. Okay? And this is why I tell you this. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the promise of God that was promised to us, okay? Which is Christ's Spirit in us. That was the promise. So these people of promise are the spiritual people, okay? Even though they're natural flesh and blood people in two different groups that he's comparing. Are you with me? Okay, let's read it. Starting in verse 6 of chapter 9 of Romans. But it is no longer that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seeds of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 8. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Stop. The children of the flesh are not the children of God. How many are women in the room? Raise your hands. Everyone that's raising your hand is not the child of God. How many are sons of God? Raise your hands. Those are not of the flesh. Are you hearing me? I'm playing with you, but I'm very serious about how it's so conditioned in your mind to see yourself and believe of yourself a certain way. Does sin care if you're a man or a woman? Absolutely not. Does it care if you're a Jew or a Greek? Absolutely not. Does it care if you're old or young? It doesn't care about these identities that people have. Sin and sickness doesn't care who it takes advantage of. It'll take advantage of anyone that'll give it a place to live. Oops, gotcha. Anyone that'll give it a place to live. Ready? So when we start seeing ourselves and talking about ourselves, and I'm very serious when I say talking about ourselves, how am I believing about me? How am I believing about you? When we have our coffee and we talk, am I talking to a flesh and blood person, or am I talking to the Son of God? Don't answer me. I'm trying to get your brains in a place. Because I'm going to take you off the chart. And I don't want you to go off the chart without having some foundation to get there with, okay? So, let me go on reading, starting in verse 8. That those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise, or of the Spirit, are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise, or the word of the Spirit. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. Stop. God has brought to life your flesh person. Doesn't it say in John chapter 1 that the light of men is the light of God? So that's flesh and blood men. So God gave birth to your flesh and blood person. He created the flesh and blood person, right? But he also gave you another person, a new. You're going to be born a second time. You have two lives, a flesh and blood life, and then you get born a second time. That's your spirit life, okay? Since the cross, this spirit life is the only person God's dealing with. This person, he cast out. Right? Get it? Get this. The flesh and blood person, look at the natural example. They were cast out. Were they still birthed by God? Yes. Did he still bless them? Yes. Did he still provide for them? Yes. Did they still grow and multiply? Yes. Do they have an inheritance in the kingdom of God? No. No. And neither does your flesh or mine. Only the Son of God has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Only the one of the Spirit. That's the only one God deals with. Am I going too fast, too hard, too deep? You guys with me? Let's keep reading. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise at the time I will come and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by her father Isaac. For the children, not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Verse 12. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Talking about the flesh person and the spirit person. The older shall serve the younger. What's he talking about? Your flesh and blood human person is the slave of your spirit. Your flesh and blood human person is not in charge ever again. It's the slave of the spirit. The spirit, the younger person, the older person was the flesh person born first, then later, however many years it was, you were born the second time. This person, the flesh person, is now the slave or under this new person, the spirit person. Are you with me? This is a mystery to the Old Testament and to the world. They can't comprehend what I just told you. They don't see how it's possible. They can't identify with it in any way, shape, or form. It's a complete mystery to them. Okay? And if you don't believe what I'm saying right now or you don't understand, please come to me, Mittner, Trey. You have to understand this in order to succeed, to really get the victory over this world. You have to understand that you are spirit. You are a son of God. And everything that Jesus did, you are absolutely equipped and entitled to do. Amen? And it's only by acknowledging your flesh and blood human being, that condemnation, that guilt, that shame, that shortcomings, those failures, those lies that other people spoke into us, that we're no good, those things that were robbed from our identity by being molested and raped and abused and beaten and drunken parents and drug addict parents and all the terrible things that mess with us. A dad that worked all the time and was never home. All those things, we have to overcome that identity. Okay? The soul wants you to milk that stuff and make it right. Okay? If you need to do that, that's fine. Go do that. But God doesn't say you need to do that. He says you need to forgive people, absolutely release it, let it go and move on because that person's dead. So anything that's causing you to identify with that, woe is me, emotional hurt, wounded person, he says, let it go, forgive them, that's not the real you anymore. Okay? Now, let me just ask a question before I go on. We're going to go to Romans 10 now. I'm personally, and I'm just sharing this for the first time. I've never even told Trey or Mitten or Bruce this. I'm telling you for the first time. All you're hearing at once. I'm looking for a group of people, not everybody, just a few, that will absolutely believe me and believe the Word of God and believe the Holy Spirit, that I and you are a son of God, and that we will promise and commit to one another that that's the only person we will identify with each other, and we will help each other. Each time the other person slips into that other role, we wake them up and remind them who they are, so that we can get out of the circle of the hypnotic unbelief that this world just sucks us into, and TV sucks us into, and Facebook sucks us into. Did I say Facebook? Yes, Facebook sucks us into, because Facebook is a bunch of propagation of the old man. It's just a bunch of propagation of the old man, and acknowledging the old man and showing off the old man. You know that? And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying let's get together. If you want to, you let me know if you want to, and let's promise that we will not nurture the old person at all, and we will acknowledge who we are as sons of God together, okay? I'm not even going to disgrace you and say daughters of God, because you're not. You are God's own prodigy, and God is neither male nor female. Jesus came as a man on the earth because of the culture and time that he came. It was necessary. But God is a father, and he is beyond gender. He was there before gender was created, wasn't he? In fact, the first guy he created like him was non-gendered also. He had to split them apart to create the gender, right? So let's go past that. Now you're in Romans chapter 10. Are you? I want to jump down to verse 17. Very famous scripture. Ready? Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Stop. How does faith come? By hearing. Can faith come all by itself? Just poof, you have faith. Does faith come by living in this natural world? Does faith come by reading poetry? Does faith come by learning great philosophical issues? Can you be born into faith from your mother and father of this natural fleshly body? Can you be educated into faith? Faith only comes by hearing. Somebody has to tell it to you. Somebody has to tell you. And if you're locked into an identity or a way that you are, you have to hear that you're actually different than that. Somebody has to share the revelation with you that you don't have to be bound by that anymore. There's a solution. There's an answer. There's a fix for this problem. Faith comes by hearing. Believing God comes by hearing. Okay, so let me ask you this. How does hearing come? Speaking. How else? The Word. How else? The anointing. By the Spirit of God. Like osmosis. What do you mean? So he teaches us through his Word, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's read part B of verse 17. And hearing comes by the Word of God, the Rhema of God. Listen, this is important. This is the crux of what I want you to get. Hearing comes by God speaking to you. This is important. I'm not talking about your natural ears. Not at all. I'm not talking to a flesh and blood person. I'm talking to a spiritual son and daughter of God who happens to walk in flesh and blood body. Sin has been condemned in this flesh and blood body. God doesn't deal with us according to sin because he doesn't deal with us according to the flesh and blood body. But we have to renew our mind. We have to, right? Go with me. Don't lose your place there because we're going to come back. Go with me now to Romans chapter 12. Turn the page. Huh? Verse 1 and 2. But verse 1, we're going to start with. Ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What's he saying? turn this into English. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Do you think he's serious? Is he trying to be emphatic? Is he trying to really grab a hold of us and tell us, this is very important? By the mercies of God, I want you to hear me when I tell you this. Okay? Mercy's what? Not getting what you deserve. Okay? I want you to hear yourself by not getting what you deserve. This is important. If you don't want to get what you deserve, listen to this. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Not spirit. Right? Not your life. Your body. Your flesh and blood body. As a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Ready? He's saying that this thing has to die to getting its way. This thing has to die to be telling you who you are. I'm not talking about your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this thing. That tells you when you have to eat. That tells you when you have to sleep. That tells you when you're afraid. That tells you something's wrong. Why? Because you feel it in your sense realm. Right? This body has to be a living sacrifice. In other words, you don't kill the flesh. You need it to get around on the earth. But you make it a sacrifice. It has to die to being who you say you are and how you identify with yourself, okay? I'm not saying that you can't be carnal, because you need to be carnal in this natural world. That's why we wear clothes. That's why some of us have glasses. We drive cars. We get around. You got to have a carnal body to be on this world. But it is absolutely not who you are, right? When you get a seed, is the seed what you want? Or is when it dies and what comes out of it what you actually want? The real thing you want is after it dies and what comes out of it, which will be a plant or a tree. Why? Because of the fruit it bears. It nourishes you. Is that right? The seed's not important. This is just a seed. It's a shell. It's a husk. Okay? So we really need to get this, that I am a son or a daughter of God, and it's no longer this flesh that says what I do or who I am. Everybody do this. Now do this. Okay, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. That's a lot. Okay, I'm looking for people who will join me personally. I don't care if it's one person or 20 people, but we will absolutely take authority over our flesh and not identify ourselves according to the flesh and blood person anymore. I'm not saying being stupid and crazy and you can't function in society. I'm talking about our identity. Let's read the next verse, verse 2. Ready? Oh, let me back up. Do you know what it says, your reasonable service? Can I rephrase this? It's the least you can do. Making your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, is the least you can do. In other words, get your flesh under control. That's the very least you can do. Okay, as far as God's concerned. Verse 2, and do not be conformed. Does anybody have an Amplified Bible? Amplified Bible? Do you? Can I borrow it for a second? Do you have this verse right here? I'm just going to read this to y'all right here. Okay, it's in the right column. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves, for who? So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. We all have to renew our minds to not be conformed to this world. This world only deals with the flesh and blood person, right? When you get a license, it's a picture, and it says that that living entity called whatever your name is actually this flesh and blood body by taking a picture and putting it on it, right? If you do something wrong, they take your flesh and blood body and put it in jail, don't they? You just happen to go with the body, right? They, in this world, deals with your flesh and blood body. But we have to renew our minds to who we really are. So that, why? We can prove to ourselves what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? Let me back up. What's the commandment of Jesus? That we love one another. All of this is for love. All of this is for love. Because if you really want to walk in everything that Jesus did, have complete healing of your flesh and blood body, and walk in the giftings and callings and the anointing of God, you have to get this part. It's foundational and vital and important. You have to, because this is where people start getting tripped up. They fall back into the flesh person and the natural life, and they see themselves as just a flesh and blood person that God has saved them in the by and by, and they'll be in heaven one day. But as for today, sickness, poverty, bad relationships, angry people, that's just a part of this life. They really don't get who we really are yet. Amen? But God is busting out the sons of God. He is breaking out the sons of God. And this world has been groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. And it's getting close. I mean, we can feel it. That's why I want a group of people that will not live in doubt and unbelief, but will actually help me, and I'll help you pop through. Amen? Let's go back to verse 10. Did I finish? Verse 2. I did finish 2? Okay, that's all I wanted to read. Go over back to chapter 10. And let's look on this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear God talking to us. Right? Okay, we can read the Bible, but we read the Bible so that we can hear God talk to us. Because that word's not logos. It's not when we hear something that was said or referred to again. It's when it's being said directly to us is when we hear it. When it's being said to us. So we, when we read our Bible, it's when our heart goes, God's talking to me. God's talking to me. Not I'm reading a story. Not he's talking about them. No, he's not talking about something that's available. He's talking to me right now. Faith comes by hearing God talk to me. When God talks to me, poof, I have faith for what he just said. I cannot believe what he just said now. Are you with me? If I don't hear him, I'm wrestling with the fact, well, it's true. Well, I know Pastor Trez says it. Well, I know my husband told me and my husband walked in it. Or my wife, she's in a prayer meeting and she believes this stuff. Well, I know she says it's true, so it must be. It doesn't work for you, though, until it becomes real for you personally, that it's between you and God that he said this to you. It's between you and God that he said this to you. That's when faith comes. Are you with me? Our hearts have to hear it. Let's go look at a couple of parables. First, do you have Mark in the Amplified 4:24? Can you put that up? Let's look at this. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Faith comes by hearing. And when God talks to you, does he tell you a lie? He tells you the truth. So the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of life and knowledge that comes back to you. Virtue and knowledge, real life and knowing God, that will come back to you. But you have to meditate on what you hear, study what you hear, press in to it so that you can own what's being said to you. Are you with me? Let's go on. I want to do one other. Go with me to Luke 8:18. I want to qualify this because we can hear a lot of stuff. So this is the same verse said a little bit differently. Are you with me? Amplified. Luke 8:18. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given. And from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away. So, if it's not real for you, and we're walking in la-la land, just hoping this is kind of true, and hoping that God's got it, and hoping that it is, that's all going to be taken away from you, because it's not real yet. It's not the real you. We have to be able to press in and walk in the things of God. Are you with me? Okay, do this. Everything's easier when you're smiling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So, let's talk about hearing, shall we? Jesus gave the parable of the sower. Isn't that famous? He says, this is when you hear this parable, that's how you can measure everything, okay? You can measure everything by what? How you hear. Why is it that when Pastor Trey gets up here on Sunday morning and teaches a message, I hear one thing? Man, it is so great. That is so liberating. Thank you, Jesus. And the person in the back is going, that Pastor Trey, I can't get nothing out of what he says. You know, I just don't even believe that I should be in this church. Why? The way we're hearing. It's the way we're hearing. When God's talking about hearing, is he talking about this? Or is he talking about another set of ears? When he's talking about seeing, is he talking about these or another set of eyes? Another set. I'll prove it to you. It's easier with the eyes than with the ears. Ready? Close your flesh and blood eyes. Close your flesh and blood eyes. Apple. A red apple. A red apple that's kind of shiny. A brown stem about an inch and a half long. See that apple? How beautiful it is? Open your eyes. Who saw an apple? Raise your hand. How could you see an apple? Your eyes were closed. How could you? I don't have an apple. How many saw an apple? You all raised your hand that you said you saw an apple. Okay? Those eyes, what are those? What are those? Those are spiritual eyes. Okay? They're the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding. Okay? You have spiritual ears. You can hear with your ears. Ready? This is a song that everybody sings on the day that they were brought into this world. And everybody gets to hear it at least once a year. And it goes something like this. No. Don't use your flesh and blood mouths. Ready? Stop. How many heard happy birthday? How many were singing happy birthday? And your lips weren't even moving. How is that possible? That's the person that is the son or daughter of God. That's the person that we renew their understanding. Was it my flesh that sang happy birthday? No, the flesh is the servant. I told myself, don't open my mouth. I told myself, close my eyes. It obeys me. That has to happen in all things, that the flesh obeys me, okay? So, when I tell my flesh, pain, go. It has to obey me. Why? Because I'm a son of God. I have things like the stripes that Jesus bore, like the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the fact that I'm a citizen of heaven, like the fact that I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, like the fact that I was commanded to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've got all these things that back me up. But the crux of it all is I'm a son of God. And the devil's been defeated and we have authority over him. But our flesh has to come into subjection to us. Are you with me? Isn't this fun? This is great. This is so great. So how do we do it? How do we get control of ourselves? Say that again louder. What? Speak the word. How else? Discipline our body. How do you discipline your body? Tell it no. How else? Fast. Yes. Here's the simplest one that helps me the best. Fasting's good. It is. But I got another one that's even harder for me. Ready? It's what Trey said. Tell myself no. Deny myself the right. Okay, I'm going to meddle now. Can I have permission? I'm going to meddle now. You do not have the right to indulge your flesh. You are dead. And it's no longer you who lives, but it's Christ who lives in you. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And when you indulge your flesh, that is death. Nobody likes that. A child needs to be disciplined. Pastor and I were talking about this just recently, how the millennial children are having such a difficult time in the workforce because video games, TV, and computers have been their babysitters. They've never learned conflict and how to deal in conflict with other people. They think that they're entitled by just being there. They're entitled to have whatever it is because they're there, because they're present. They don't understand working for it. They don't understand being disciplined and going without and learning character through the things they suffer. They don't. And there's a big problem in the workforce now where the corporations are having to raise the millennial children to teach them people skills so they actually become productive in their jobs. The parents should have been doing that. But they don't. Parents don't spank, don't discipline, don't set a standard, don't enforce it. Okay? They get angry and flip out, but they should be setting a standard the whole time with an idea of how they're going to groom this child to be a part of society. Okay? It's not happening. So, the same thing has to happen with your spirit ruling over your flesh. Your spirit has to rule over your flesh, and you need to deny yourself the right to have your say. The right to defend yourself when somebody does something wrong against you. The right to be right. It doesn't matter. Your flesh is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But your spiritual person is. So as we deny ourselves, as we fast, as we say no to protecting our earthly persons, what's it called? Fame or whatever it is, how people see you, you know what I mean? Your reputation, all that kind of stuff. Who cares? Did Jesus protect his reputation? No. You know, he was God Most High that came down and took on the form of a person, and he served every one of us and gave up his life for us. Took stripes he never deserved. Had his beard pulled out, never deserved it. Had a crown of thorns shoved on his head who did not deserve it. Nailed to a cross who did nothing to deserve it. And never so much as had the slightest hint of resentment towards the human race. He did it all for the joy that was set before him. He had joy set before him. So he endured the cross. Dying to yourself, making yourself shut up, denying yourself its loves, and saying no to it is being a doormat. And it's horrible bad for you. Unless you're doing it for a reason. Which is for the joy that is set before you, that your spiritual identity, your spiritual sonship would be revealed out of the suffering of your flesh. Are you with me? So, when you come to a situation, or I come to a situation that I'm afraid, what should I do? Give me advice. I see somebody that needs prayer. Okay? But they're, like Pastor Trey said last night, they come showing up in a stretcher. You know, they're not just on a walker, they're in a stretcher, a gurney they're wheeling them in. Should I go, Pastor Trey, I think that one's for you. You're the senior pastor, dude. I'm just the associate. I'll get this one over here that has a cast on their foot, okay? I'll go for the broken bone. Amen? No. If I see myself and recognize myself as a son of God, it has nothing to do with me being capable or not capable, filled with power or not filled with power. I absolutely am filled with power. I absolutely, what I say will come to pass. Jesus walked on water. He returned the ear of Marcus. He turned water into wine. He made everyone well. He dealt with these things and was victorious in it all. He walked on the water. Why? Because he was the Son of God. And you and I have been given that same sonship, but we have to overcome the condemnation, the guilt, the same, the inferiority, the emotional up and down stuff, and not relate to ourselves as a flesh and blood person any longer. So that we can walk as sons and daughters of God. And when we walk as sons and daughters of God, God backs us up with his power. That's how we know if we believe the truth, if it's true. Because God backs us up with his power. Right? Didn't Paul say that I don't come in eloquence of speech? In other words, I don't come here being all that, telling you the way that it is. I come with the power of God backing me up. And you need to have faith in the power of God and not in the words that I'm saying. Right? It's about getting the God Most High backing you up when you talk, backing you up when you pray, manifesting these things because you're his son. Are you with me? He backed up Jesus 100%, right? Because they were one. They were one. They were one. It goes so far to say in the Bible that if we obey his commandments, that he and his Father will come and make their home in us. They'll make their home in us. He'll enjoy being in you, backing you up, being himself in you. Amen? So if I have five more minutes, oh, praise God, I do. What time do we go till? Till you're done, Robert. Okay. You guys are so wonderful. Good. Thank you. Let's look at the parables real quick, but I want to focus on the parables about hearing. Okay? And at the end of each one of these parables, can we just go through the framework of it? Okay? Hearing about the kingdom of God is what Jesus is talking about, right? We're talking about the parable of the sower sowing the word or sowing the seeds, right? And then Jesus explains it to the disciples, right? So he's talking about talking and teaching about the kingdom of God, right? And he says it is really conditional upon the way that you hear what I'm telling you, okay? It's really important on how you hear what I'm saying. If you can't relate to it at all, I'm paraphrasing, if it's just bouncing off you, it doesn't mean anything, it's just not even sticking, that is the wayside, okay? And the devil comes very quick and steals that away, and in 5 minutes after you're outside, you're thinking about what restaurant you're going to lunch. What I said doesn't, it's not even there anymore, and it's not going to come back up, all right? It's not going to ever bother you again, because it didn't have any resting place in you. The next ground is hard, rocky soil. You're in here and you're going, amen, Brother Robert, preach it. That's really good. That's the truth. It's in the Bible. Amen. That's real. I love what you're saying. You get out there on the street. You're having lunch with somebody. They fall dead on the floor. And you're going, call an ambulance, call 911, hurry, hurry, hurry. Because it springs up quickly, but it's got no root in you, and it bears no fruit. You don't actually believe it's you yet. You believe it's true. Oh, it's true, and it's in the Bible, but it's not you. That's the stony ground. It's other people. It's not me he's talking about. It's not me that it operates in. Then there's the weeds and the thorns. Okay? Those are people who hear about the kingdom of God and they believe it's true and they're getting a little tiny bit of results. They're getting some results, but that's as far as it ever goes because they're really busy people. They've got kids. They've got soccer. They've got responsibilities. They've got to clean and cook. They've got to take care of the animals. They've got a job. They've got this. They've got that. We all have a busy life. And so we get a little bit of results, but that's as far as it ever goes. Now, I'm ashamed to say this is the largest population of Christians that I know. Not all of them, but there's a few people who go beyond that. And they make all of it superficial. All of these responsibilities and obligations and other people's needs and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about laying down your life for other people's needs. I mean being so consumed with other people's needs that they're running you around that you don't have time to really settle it down in your heart. To really prepare the ground of your heart. That my responsibilities, I'll still do them, but they don't get the priority of what I think about. Other people, I still love them. I care about them. They're not going to own me, though. My job, oh, I'll do it. I'll do it as unto the Lord, and I'll put my whole soul into it. But it is not who I am as a person. And they take time to clean up the dirt. Their soil, so that when God speaks to them, his words can go right into their heart and they can start living the life as a son of God now while they're on the earth. Okay? Let's just look at a couple of these parables with me. If you will, turn with me in your Bible. And let's go to Matthew 13, verse 23. I'm only going to give you three more verses unless I don't. With me? We are in Matthew chapter 13, and we're just taking the last verse of these parables. And it's verse 23 in the New King James. It says, it's on the screen, "But he who receives seed on the ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He understands it." That means when God speaks to you, faith is birthed in your heart, and you have that now. You actually understand it. That means you're able to put it together. Come to an understanding of what this being a son of God is, or what the grace of God is, or know what faith is, whatever it is about the kingdom of God that you're studying right now. And you have to come to understand what you hear. If you're not understanding what I'm telling you right now, you need to get further clarification. Take me aside, study it on your own, ask Pastor Trey, ask Mitten. There's many of you in here that understand the Word of God very well and are walking in it. We need to not walk in pride, but get further clarification if we actually don't understand something in the kingdom of God. Amen? So, the first author, Matthew, says that we have to first of all understand it, right? That's really paramount. But then, it's amazing how Mark concludes a little bit different. So let's go to Mark. Go to Mark 4, verse 20. Mark had the same parable, and he was there too. And he heard Jesus teaching, and he wrote it this way. "But these are the ones," verse 20 of chapter 4, "but these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear it, hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold." He not only reversed the order of the produce, but he said this: they accept it. They accept it. Not only does Matthew say you understand it, but you have to accept it also, that you are a son of God. You need to understand you're a son of God, and you need to accept that you actually are. Do you know, a lot of us have not accepted that we are. We just have not accepted it. We hear it and we're still formulating our conclusions. We're not able to absolutely stand in it yet. Well, we'll absolutely say it's true. Oh, we'll absolutely bear a tiny bit of fruit. But we won't just plain accept it. It is by grace, not by anything of me. It is the Spirit of God and not me. And I've got to just accept that I'm everything Jesus said, that he loves me, that I am unblemishable in his sight, that I will forever be with him in heaven, that I'm actually his son. I have to accept that is true. And each one of us have to come to that understanding our own selves in order to get the results a son gets. So that you and I, when the Sceva issue comes up, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? We want each one of us, when we walk into that situation, or even when somebody that is bound by a demon knows that we're on our way there, he leaves before we get there. Because you, he knows also. And I, he knows also. Because the spiritual Son of God has manifested in the kingdom of God on this earth. Are you with me? Let's go to one more. And then I will most likely let you go. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. "Is this too much for you?" Okay. Believe it or not, this is foundational. We have to get this. But the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, a noble and good heart, the weeds are gone, the thorns are gone, and you have my attention. The weeds are gone, the thorns are gone, and you have my attention, God. Keep it and bear fruit with patience. Keep it. So not only do you understand it, not only do you accept it as being true, but you have to hold on to it and not let it go as to who you really are. Even when you pray for somebody and you don't get the results, even when you speak to your body and it doesn't respond instantly, you don't move off of your position. It must submit. It must obey. Will you be 100% successful? Maybe. Probably not. Because it takes time to renew our minds. It takes time to see ourselves as a son of God. It takes time to believe that what God said to me is actually true, because I've lived so long in unbelief and pain that it's difficult to say that's not the real me. But we will do it together. So I put this invitation out to you, the people who are in this room with me. Not everyone that hears my voice. The people that are in this room with me. If any of you want to join me, and that we'll meet on some form of a regular basis and really identify ourselves as sons of God and overcome the doubt and unbelief and put down our flesh and hold each other accountable, that means you hold me accountable and I hold you accountable to identify ourselves only from sons of God point of view. Because I tell you, it's easy to slip. And then it takes a while to get back again. And then it's just a bunch of mental ascension rather than living the life as a son or daughter of God. See, I even just did it right there, as a son of God. Amen? Okay. Amen, Robert, that was good. Amen. Do I have any questions?